Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
All right, we do have more information on the arrest of the founder of FTX, the crypto exchange company that's in bankruptcy.
The crypto crook.
Collapsed. Yep, Sam Bankman-Fried was arrested in the Bahamas. He was supposed to appear before Congress tomorrow, although the story came out today he wanted to do it remotely. Maybe that had something to do with them saying maybe we ought to move in on him. He was arrested by Bahamian authorities. We'll talk about that coming up later on this hour. But
well, they do have an indictment here in the U.S.
Yes, this is in cooperation. The Southern District of New York, right, yes. Had an indictment, right.
All right, now we're going to talk with Blake Trolley because today was an exciting day. Karen Bass declared a state of emergency.
Her first full day in office.
Eric, when I say state of emergency, we need the siren, all right? People have to know. They might be, zoning out when we talk.
Sounds like an air raid thing.
Yeah, there we go. There it is.
Or a submarine diving, right?
State of emergency for homelessness here in the city of Los Angeles. Let's get to Blake Trolley. He's our emergency
reporter.
Hey guys, how you doing? Yeah, we're fine. So what was this today?
Yeah, so the mayor held a press conference this morning talking about this state of emergency. This was something that she campaigned on as part of her strategy to address homelessness. She was somewhat vague on the exacts when rolling out the plan, but big picture, as it's been described to me, is this is really an effort to cut red tape. As she was talking about, you know, putting through this state of emergency, she mentioned building permits as something that she's hoping to expedite as part of this. Now, you know, as she was giving, I want to go to this soundbite. She immediately used this press conference to take an aim at the current homeless situation.
I will not accept a homelessness crisis that afflicts more than 40,000 Angelenos and affects every one of us. It is a humanitarian crisis that takes the life of 5 people every day. In every neighborhood, we can see the failures of the status quo. Despair, desperation, human suffering. And our children are growing up knowing nothing else than this. It must stop, and change starts now.
Yeah.
Now, she says she held a meeting this morning with city department managers and asked them where the roadblocks are. So, again, I think this is kind of a two-part move. One, it's symbolic of how she views the issue, and then also again, big picture here, hoping to cut some red tape and expedite the processes of solving some of these issues. I spoke to Council President Paul Krikorian about this because, as you guys know, this is not in effect just yet. The City Council will have to vote on whether or not they want to approve this tomorrow. If they approve this, this goes into effect for 6 months. But the City Council has, you know, every 30 days will be taking a vote on whether or not they want to keep it in effect.
So there's no specific explanation what they're going to do. Cut red tape. I've heard a thousand times in my life from everybody in office. At the end of everyone's term, there's more red tape. There's more regulations. It's more difficult to get anything done. So what specifically is being streamlined here?
Well, again, building permits was about the only thing we heard today, John, and questions, quite honestly, seemed a little bit short. You know, I didn't even get to ask a question. They went to a few reporters and said, that's it. And it's so funny you're asking this because this was exactly my question. I was saying, well, what exactly? And then I went and talked to spokespeople, and I actually had sent an email. One of them said, well, send it to me in an email. You know, this is a new administration, so this is day one of handling these types of inquiries. But still, I sent an email this morning, and I haven't heard back yet, you know, on the exacts. So anyways, Paul Krikorian, Council President Paul Krikorian, I want to go to this soundbite. He explains it a little bit better, essentially, what some of this red tape cutting could look like.
Government procurement is a complicated process under normal circumstances. You have to put out a request for proposal. You have to get competitive bids. You have to do a number of steps appropriately. It's appropriate that government does that. But an emergency situation, when time is of the essence, sometimes you don't have 6 months or a year to go through a whole procurement process. You need to get something taken care of now, like the temporary housing that she's talked about, you know, the master leasing and those other things, just in order to get out of the way any of those concerns about bureaucratic delays. This resolution will take care of that. She'll be able to move forward.
And they couldn't do this the last 5 years when things started really going to hell?
Well, yeah. And, you know, just so you guys are aware, this is one of two major steps she's announcing towards homelessness this week. She says she is planning to announce a new housing program this week. That program would come down to master leasing of motels, from what she's indicated earlier today. And, you know, I've been asked about a price tag, about all of this stuff. You know, she kind of, it was interesting, somebody had asked her about the price, and she kind of tied it into that new program, saying all of this would be under $100 million. But again, more questions we're going to have to clear up. And when she makes that announcement on the program, we'll be able to maybe clarify that.
I have a question suggestion for you as you continue to cover these events. Ask them what they're going to do if people continue to come from around the country by the thousands. Because a lot of the homeless here in LA County have come from elsewhere. They got on buses and they come here. So while they're buying motels and hotels and building expensive housing shelters, what are they going to do if they keep coming off the Greyhound buses in downtown LA?
It's a very fair question. It's, you know, it's as if we're footing the bill and setting up kind of almost a lure for some of these issues. And to Bass's credit, she has talked about that, you know, needing a multi-level government approach, given that this issue does not, you know, as she said, this issue does not end at city's borders. It doesn't end at the county's border. She alluded to that yesterday during her inaugural speech. So, yeah, you know, can she, I think the question is, can she, with her experience in Congress, you know, figure out a way to really get a multi-level approach to this? If not, yeah, it seems like, you know, as a city issue, it's definitely above a city's abilities.
All right, Blake. Yeah, you continue on this emergency beat here, all right? If anything dramatic happens, please contact us immediately.
Will do. As long as we get that alert sound.
That's right. Play it again. So there we go.
Yeah.
We're in a homeless emergency here in Los Angeles.
Scary.
Karen Bass has a written declaration. She's going to cut red tape. Did you hear what Krikorian said in the middle of that?
No. What?
That it takes a year to buy anything? Procurement is a fancy word for purchase. To buy.
What are they going to buy? Buy a house?
I don't know. But he says normally it takes, you know, 6 months, a year. I'm thinking, what in the world takes a year to buy? There's nothing in my life that's taken even 6 months to purchase. Nothing.
This problem is not going to be solved with more money. That doesn't work. We talked about this last week. Remember? We talked about super meth and fentanyl and what we're dealing with out there now. It's going to take conservatorship to get the worst of the worst off the streets. I mean, here's her tweet today. I just declared a state of emergency on homelessness to unlock every tool and authority at our disposal to bring unhoused Angelenos inside. This is a matter of life and death. That's exactly how my administration will treat it. To me, that reeks of housing first.
Yeah. Well, that's she is from that ilk.
It's she's the same, right.
Yeah, she's
the same thing. I was Garcetti's the same way.
And Biden.
All these politicians that have failed in California the same way. The nonsense of housing first when you're dealing with so many problems with these homeless people.
But you look at the coverage of the campaign and the coverage of her inauguration in the El Segundo Times, and everything was, she's a black woman. She's the first black woman. It's like, yeah, hey, that's great. Is she? But if she's going to build housing first, this city's doomed. Why does anybody care about gender and color and they don't look at what she's going to do? She never gave an indication that she was going to get the people off the street quickly, especially the ones who are psychologically damaged and whacked out on meth and fentanyl.
Remember what we learned from that? They have lost their instinct for self-preservation. And if that's gone, you can't expect them to come and get help and change their lives on their own. They have to be taken in against their will if necessary.
All right. Day one, a failure.
We'll be watching this every day, huh?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to play the alarm every day until...
As long as the emergency's in effect. Yep. Tomorrow, the city council will formally approve it.
See, that's a big step. That should make this go immediately. But I think you brought up a good point. If this was the magic bullet, why wasn't it done 5 years ago?
Yeah. What's she saying about Garcetti? That she said, you know, people in L.A. wake up to desperation and despair. Desperation and despair? There's his legacy, huh? Hey, go run for president on that.
All right, more coming up. John and Ken, KFI, AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeart Radio app. Well, we'll be tracking the state of emergency to see exactly the homeless problem disappear in L.A. because that's all it took was a document held up today before the media. At the Emergency Operations Center of Los Angeles by
the
mayor.
And everyone all across L.A. is shouting, cut red tape, cut red tape.
That's right.
That was the inspirational words from Karen
Bass. Homeless industrial complex. Speed up the homeless industrial complex. Spend more money. Always works, doesn't it?
You know what? I was going through some Garcetti stories. You know that the price of the homes that he was building hit $837,000? $837,000 for an apartment for one homeless person. How is that possible? $837,000. What a clown.
Give every vagrant $10,000, a bus ticket out, and make them sign a document that they ain't coming back. And that's better spending of money.
That's right. Get a restraining order. You have to stay 500 miles away.
Yeah, you can't come back. From catch you here, you're in prison. All right, the breaking news this hour is that Bahamian authorities, with the cooperation of the United States, have arrested Sam Bankman-Fried, the disgraced co-founder, former CEO of the crypto trading firm FTX. This comes from the Southern District of New York, which has a sealed indictment that they shared with the Bahamian government to effect this arrest in the Bahamas today. Now, he is expected to testify tomorrow before the House Financial Services Committee.
Well, I guess he's going to be busy.
He had said before this story broke this afternoon that he was going to do it via remotely, claiming he has a problem with the paparazzi.
Boy, he's a whack job, isn't he?
And he's quite overbooked.
Now, they're going to unseal the indictment tomorrow morning, so we'll hear the exact charges. And there is an agreement with the Bahamas to extradite somebody like Bankman-Fried. And the Bahamian prime minister said, we have a shared interest in holding accountable all individuals associated with FTX who have broken the law.
He did this interview with Twitter Spaces the other day. And he said, yeah, it's because I fear that I'm going to be drowning in paparazzi. But, quote, I don't think I'll be arrested. Oh, well, he was wrong about that, wasn't he?
Yeah, well, he's been wrong about a lot of things.
During the interview, there was strange clicking sounds, so finally he admitted he was sitting there playing video games as he conducted the interview. This is a child. It's a 30-year-old, like, 8-year-old.
Yeah. No, that's what he always used to do when he would meet with potential investors. He would meet with anybody who wanted to be a part of his empire. He would talk with them over Zoom while playing video games.
Oh,
and
wow.
And these people still either invested millions with him or deposited millions in his crypto accounts. I mean, it's shocking. And you look at him, and he's this big hairy slob.
Let's get that hip.
Yeah.
Like a wig on his head, that black hair.
I know. You see him. He's always wearing a T-shirt and shorts. You saw him walk on the street and say, oh, guy looks like a homeless person.
He's like a bozo.
But yeah, he is. He's a big, stupid bozo. But what did he say he did? He talked about all the woke issues. You talk about woke issues, you're cool. Hey, you know, you wear a T-shirt and shorts. Apparently, there was not a lot of hygiene going on in that apartment with the 9 other roommates. That's what they said. You walk in there, it's like, whoo-hoo.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. So he didn't bathe. He didn't wear any clothes beyond a T-shirt and shorts. He didn't pay attention when he talked with you because he's playing video games. Sure, I'll give you tens of millions of dollars as an investment. You're a genius because you're woke. If you're woke, you're better than I am.
There apparently was a... back and forth here between the Bahamas government and FTX. The United States is pursuing criminal charges against Sam Bankman-Fried individually, but the Bahamas is looking into its own criminal and regulatory investigations. And apparently, earlier today, FTX attorneys have accused the Bahamian government of allegedly working with Bankman-Fried to spirit away FTX assets from company control and into crypto wallets controlled by Bahamian regulators. So they're trying to make sure that they get back what they may have invested in FTX, because obviously in a bankruptcy, everything eventually just gets dispersed. And you often don't get much on the dollar for whatever you had invested in the company. So they're claiming that the Bahamas regulators are trying to pull a fast one here by getting their share of whatever they put into the company.
Yeah.
This was probably a big deal in the Bahamas. It's not a very big place. And
no.
A company like FTX was probably a big deal to have their big guys there.
That whole region wanted to collectively become the hub for crypto. Miami, the mayor made it clear he was welcoming high-tech crypto.
Right.
Puerto Rico as well. And a lot of these guys bought all kinds of palaces and huge acreage along the beaches in Miami area and in Puerto Rico and in the Bahamas, because they wanted to get something for the crypto money just in case the whole thing blew up. All these guys knew there was a chance all this blows up. So you have to turn the crypto money into something hard, like real estate.
And in case you're curious, the Bahamas and the U.S. do have an extradition treaty that's been in place since the early 20th century. When the Bahamas was under British control, the current treaty was signed in 1990. So it seems like they have worked out a way for the Bahamas to hold on to Sam Bankman-Fried until he gets extradited to New York to face there. As John said, they're going to open the indictment tomorrow with the details of the criminal case against Sam Bankman-Fried. More coming up on the John and Ken Show, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app. All right, coming up after 5 o'clock, we'll give you our take on the chaos at City Council with the disgraced, but still, L.A. City Council member Kevin Leon facing off with an activist at a Christmas toy event Friday night in Lincoln Heights. We'll get to all of that after the news at 5 o'clock. We turn now to the Idaho college student killings. There's a couple of developments to talk about. The man that's doing a lot of speaking is not with the police or the FBI. It is Stephen Goncalves, who is the father of one of the four students murdered. Her name was Kaylee. And he has shared with the media what he was told by the coroner, that these victims, some of them, were not just stabbed. They were almost filleted. Big open gouges on their body. He said a sadistic male killed them. He said he spoke to the coroner, Kathy Mabut, who said, "Sir, I don't think stabs is the right word. It was like tears. Like this was a strong weapon, not like a stab." She said these were big open gouges. She said it was quick. These weren't something where you're going to be able to call 911. They weren't going to slowly bleed out. And apparently he described how his beloved daughter's liver and lungs were slashed by the killer. That may explain why there was so much blood, even that some leaked to the outside of the house.
Right.
Because this was savage.
Okay, and that is why they mentioned that this guy must have been comfortable with cutting open something, right? And using
Hunters.
A weapon. Right, because, it was like he was preparing.
Gutting an animal.
Gut an animal.
Right.
Now, that's pretty common in Idaho, I would imagine.
Right.
There's probably a lot of hunters who...
Yeah. I'm thinking he had the right knife for something like gutting an animal, and that's what he used on these four. Although the father continues to insist that while his daughter was in bed with her friend Mogan, who was also stabbed to death, their injuries were not even close to matching.
Maybe that was a normal stabbing.
So he may have really been after Kaylee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
More than he was after her friend in the bed. Now, the other two was the male and the female, Ethan Chapman and Kernodle. They were in bed on another floor of the house, and these two, he said, did have the defensive wounds. They went through a hell of a battle to try to survive.
So maybe the screaming from the second floor woke them up.
What about those other two female roommates? Got nothing out of this, huh? Were they wearing earplugs or?
I don't know. He never went downstairs. What I read is you could access the second floor from the back because the house was built on a slope.
Oh,
and,
I see.
And the backyard was higher than the front yard, so you could walk up to a short stairway and get into the second floor. And I guess this killer knew that. At least that's what's leaked out, that may have been the way they got in.
He's not happy with the police. He thinks they're being cowards. They need to tell people they could be in danger. Whoever did this has a certain amount of strength to deliver these injuries. There are girls walking around the street right now that deserve to know. They should be looking out for a very sadistic male, is what the father said.
Well, it's a month now. This happened November 13th, and today's December 12th. So it's a full month, and I think it's time that they unleash all the information they have.
The online sleuths targeted another man
by
the name of James Curtis Leonard, who does live in Moscow, Idaho, and apparently he assaulted his wife and daughter recently and slashed himself with a knife. He's also a convicted murderer. In 2007, he was found guilty of manslaughter when he shot and killed Tyler Lee outside of his house in Genesee, Idaho. The wife of this man has done an interview with the Daily Mail to say he had nothing to do with the college student murderers. There's a lot of crazy stuff going on, but my husband had nothing to do with what happened up there, she said. And it's really starting to tick her off. He is being held on $100,000 bail for the attack on his family. Police have also declared they don't think he had anything to do with the Idaho killer.
Yeah, their quotes are hysterical. It's not linked at all. This is really pissing me off. People on the internet are trying to pin the murders on him. I had to get off that social media bleep.
She said she was with him at the time of the November 13th massacre, and he ended up leaving for work at 7 a.m. that day. She is quite certain he is not the killer of the college students.
Yeah, he shot and killed a guy in 07, manslaughter charge. He said it was self-defense. Said the other guy, Tyler Lee, used to threaten him with bats and machetes and other things. took a plea deal in exchange for a 5 to 15 year sentence. He never really went to prison. They suspended his sentence shortly after the plea deal, and he was put on 15 years probation. But then,
apparently, the disagreement they had was, well, she said that he drank a half a bottle of gin and became heavily intoxicated, accused me of cheating on him, yelled at me in front of our kids, ages 20 and 15. Also, the daughter's 21-year-old boyfriend and 1-year-old grandchild were there. Mm. And he went to his room and began cutting himself. When his wife checked on him, he allegedly punched her. He also allegedly beat up the 15-year-old who was later found with a concussion. Well, so this is why this guy made the news and got people's attention. He's got a knife. He's a killer.
That's quite an evening he had. I can see why he attracts some suspicion. The wife said he was depressed the other night. He drank a little more than he should have. He didn't take his antidepressants. That's what triggered him. The whole night was just a big mess. It should have never have happened. This it may surprise you, but apparently they live in a trailer park.
Yeah, real shock. Meanwhile, a retired Moscow police captain by the name of Paul Kwiatkowski said he thinks for sure the Idaho murderer knew at least one of the victims, and this must be about revenge. And based on what the father of Kaylee said, because she had those big open gouge wounds,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
and I think they were the first to get killed. I think that whoever was looking for someone was probably looking for her because her friend in the bed with her was not stabbed that severely as ripped open.
Okay, so what's her...
So they ought to be looking closely at Kaylee's... was she the one that they thought had a stalker, which turned out to be... I think it was her. That turned out to be not true, though.
So what's the dating life like? Did she have a boyfriend she broke up with? Was she dating a new guy? Did she have a stalker?
And I forget, which is the one that had the on and off again boyfriend that they were calling? Remember all the calls
went
to him? He was asleep, apparently. I don't know if it was her or her friend in the bed with her. But one of them was calling a man that evening, like 12 times, but he was asleep, according to his mother. And they've cleared him, too. Of course, remember, just because they clear somebody doesn't mean the case can come back around. That doesn't mean you're cleared forever. They may just not have enough right now to charge you with anything. So, you know, just I think the word cleared is thrown out there too quickly, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes they do that also to throw the killer off, I think. Right. Let me see here about what you said about, there was one of the students, 9 calls to ex-boyfriend.
Yeah, somebody named Jack, I think his name was.
Yeah, let me see.
So was that the Mogan girl or was Kaylee Goncalves and Maddie Mogan?
He was no. It says people have vilified Jack DeCour online, the ex-boyfriend of murder victim Kaylee Goncalves.
Oh, it is Kaylee's. So,
multiple calls were made to the ex-boyfriend, ending at 2:52 a.m. They do not believe the ex-boyfriend is a suspect. Two of the victims called DeCour repeatedly throughout the night. Kaylee and Maddie did call Jack 9 times.
Oh.
Kaylee called Jack 6 times between 2:26 and 2:44. From 2:44 to 2:52, Maddie calls Jack 3 times. Then Kaylee calls at 2:52.
Yeah, that man's mother said he was just asleep. He just didn't answer.
And then
that's all there is to it. What they were trying to ask him, we don't know. What wanted from him.
Yeah, if mom's telling the truth. Yeah, how does mom know? Wasn't mom asleep? How would she know if her son was asleep? I'm serious.
Well, she's tracking the timeline of the calls when police asked and just said he was not awake. But you're right, he may not. But
she was not awake either.
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, isn't that a weird coincidence, though? They're both frantically calling him 9 times.
I know. This is not long before they were murdered, apparently.
Yeah.
Like 3 a.m., 2:30, 3 a.m., something like that it was. Huh. All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app. Well, we're sad to report that the non-binary Biden nuclear official by the name of Sam Brinton has been fired. It's official after multiple luggage theft charges. Very strange story that popped up.
This very
is the
strange
Department
guy.
Of Energy, a top nuclear waste official. Who also identifies as non-binary.
Right.
Wearing a series of interesting outfits. Lipstick.
Sam Brinton is no longer a DOE employee. By law, the Department of Energy cannot comment further on personnel matters, but of course this deals with not one, but two luggage theft stories, one in Minneapolis and one in Las Vegas. It just popped up the other day.
Yeah,
so
I'm sure he was the best candidate for the job.
I guess they've had their fill of that. Now, this story, we were just talking about the Idaho college student murders. We got a trial that's starting up down south of us in the area of Solano Beach, California. A butterfly activist. A butterfly activist?
A butterfly activist.
That you know, people say, oh, they wouldn't hurt a butterfly.
Well, maybe she wouldn't.
A butterfly activist is accused of drugging and strangling her former stepfather after finding nude photos of herself on his computer.
That's quite
a story. What? Now, how is he a former stepfather? Or could it be that her mother divorced him or something? Or
I would guess, yeah.
I guess if he's dead, he's also former.
The woman's name is Jade Jenks.
Jade Jenks.
And she killed Thomas Merriman. They found his body last year under a pile of trash.
Oh.
In the house. And
prosecutors said he died of an overdose of sleeping pills that Jenks gave him after she discovered the photos, one of which he reportedly used as his screensaver. This was no accident, according to the San Diego County Deputy DA, Jorge Del Portillo. This was murder by design.
I don't care how hot you think your stepdaughter is. You don't turn one of her nude photos into a screensaver. Because, you know, she's walking across the room. He left the computer on, and suddenly she's looking at her own nude body.
Lost it, and she came up with this elaborate idea to poison him and then strangle him?
I guess so. The photos.
She was cleaning her stepfather's apartment while he was hospitalized, and that's when she found the photos, which were taken more than a decade ago. It featured Jenks and her boyfriend having consensual
And this is the screensaver for the boyfriend's dad.
Yes,
his son and his girlfriend.
No, not his son. His stepdaughter and her boyfriend.
Oh, stepdaughter and boyfriend. Right.
All right. His stepdaughter and her boyfriend were having consensual relations. It's not clear how he got these pictures. How did this stepfather get pictures of his stepdaughter nude?
Maybe from the boyfriend.
Or maybe she left it around somewhere where he had access and he just transferred it to himself. Or...
Yeah. She found the photos while cleaning the apartment, and he'd been hospitalized. She texted with another man about giving Merriman the pills.
That's kind of damning evidence.
Oh, listen to what she texted. I just dosed the hell out of him, stopping for whiskey, then at Dixieland to stall. There you go.
She texted the day she picked Merriman up from the hospital. That's when she texted what John just read.
Oh, my God. He's waking up, was another text. I really don't want to be the one to do this. I'm about to club him on the head as he's waking up.
She eventually called another person for help. That person called the cops the next day. Deputies then searched the home and found Merriman's body under a pile of boxes, blankets, and other trash. As they were leaving.
This is a butterfly activist.
Also, she does interior design, it looks like. Jenks Interiors.
The research nonprofit Butterfly Farms. She's the co-founder.
Butterflies are very nice. They're up there in my creature list.
I mean...
Ladybugs and butterflies.
Oh, I love ladybugs.
Yeah, I love the two of them.
She is a very attractive woman.
Her attorney says you will not find any evidence he was strangled to death, and we think he just died from poor health and his own cocktail of drugs that did him in.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what the jury's going to have to determine.
Yeah, I know.
This happened over a year ago.
But those texts are very incriminating. I just dosed the hell out of him.
Well, maybe because he was cranky and he was just out of the hospital and he just needed a little, you know.
I'm about to club him on the head. I don't know.
So she's cleaning up his apartment while he's hospitalized. She finds this screensaver and photos of herself, and she comes up with this plan. When he gets out of the hospital, that's it.
Do not.
I'm going to dose him, then I'm going to...
Do not take naked photos of yourself. Don't let anyone take naked photos of you. Guys share those photos. They do. Guys go, you want to see this?
Yeah, you want to see this.
That's what they do.
Why would you want to share?
Because it's another way of exposing yourself, like, you know.
Well,
you
it's
look
it's
at
that,
my hot person that I'm with.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a way of bragging.
Right. It is a way of bragging.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't recommend it. It's really not.
No, nice it's not
it's
a thing
not
men should
okay.
do.
It's not cool.
But it's
creepy.
But John's right in the first place. Don't.
Yeah, exactly.
Take these
don't.
Pictures.
Never.
But you know what happens? People drink and.
Never trust a guy. Don't trust your boyfriend. Don't trust your husband. Don't trust any guy with naked photos.
What you know what happens with these sex tapes? You won't even know that you're being recorded. I bet
yeah,
you that's happened to a lot of people.
True. Yeah, I know. I know. They put the cameras on a dresser.
Right? And then, okay, and then you could be there naked, and yeah. that's how they get the picture, and then...
Never get naked with a man. Never have sex with a man.
Jeez, getting really restricted here.
Bring your own security and do a sweep.
A lot you have to do.
Can't trust guys.
All right, we got more coming up. It's John and Ken Show, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeart Radio app.
Deborah Mark live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists, like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, and Two Door Cinema Club.
I'm so excited to tell you JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. What I love about Walker Hayes is his laid-back nature. He's a family man, and being a country megastar while also having 7 kids, you know he likes to keep his style cool and casual. This new collection is perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear, affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.